Welcome back to part two of Members Only with Dr. Jason Oates.
Yes. Can I ask a question though? So, when women have their breasts done, I've seen a procedure where they take out fat from them and then they reinsert it in their breast. So, could you not do that with the penis?
Yeah, what we call free fat transfer. And so that actually has been around for a long time.
Isn't it safer?
No, not safer. First, you've got to do a procedure to harvest the fat. So it sort of becomes a bit more invasive because it's really a mini surgical procedure, a liposuction procedure. Then that fat, you have ripped it mechanically away from its blood supply. And all tissue needs to have a blood supply to survive. Now, fat doesn't need a huge amount of blood, but it does need to have a blood supply. And then you're putting it under the skin of the penis where there is no fat. So it's not a natural place for fat to be. And then the fat just disappears. And that's been the problem with fat transfer. Oh. I don't do a lot of fat transfer myself.
So how comes that doesn't happen when they do the breasts?
It can happen. In fact, usually they have to inject a lot more fat into the breast than what they expect to stay because it doesn't establish blood supply and those fat cells just die away. And we've had the same thing in the face. But at least there is fatty tissue there and you're inserting the fat in around the fatty tissue and there's blood flow and stuff there.
Yeah.
But when we're putting it in the penis, it's this, like this empty space so that the skin can slide. So you don't have that supporting tissue to support the fat. So there can be reasonable, and I know one patient who's been elsewhere and had some fat injected into his penis and actually did well. I've seen lots of guys who've had fat injected in, it just disappeared totally over a period of time, like within 6 months. I've seen a heap of guys who've had fat injected in and they've ended up with a lump of fat here that survived and a lump of fat there. And then that's like a real nuisance because having, you know, a layer of fat everywhere is great. Having no fat is okay, but having two or three lumps sticking out like a marble under the skin, not so great. So that's part of the problem. The other thing is that fat is great when not so great when it's sitting on your tummy, but you know, when it's under your skin, that's okay. If it gets into your bloodstream, into your veins, the veins go back to your heart and then go up to your lungs, and then the fat gets stuck, gets filtered out in your lungs. Now, that's not so great. It stops the blood flow through. It actually irritates the lungs and blood flows out. Fluid pours out into your lungs and it fills up your breathing spaces. And so both of these guys, one was just a really young guy, just really tragic. I think he was 24 and just died on the table when they were injecting this fat into his penis. And the other was a diamond billionaire. And what's the point of being a billionaire if you've got a small penis? So it was done in Paris. Now, I was hoping, a bit macabre, but I was hoping we were going to get pathology sort of reports and find out a little bit more about it, which hasn't sort of come out. But the description of how he had this very sudden death just fits with what we call fat emboli syndrome, where the fat gets into your veins, goes to your lungs, and it's a sudden death. And there's very little that you can do. There's no magic treatment for it. And so these are part of the reasons why I'm not so keen on fat in the penis.
The terminology, you cracked a fat, not that's not real.
No, that's a colloquialism. It's like having a boner. There's no bone there, you know. So
thank you for clearing that up.
Just in case guys needed to have that clarified.
I think we need some new terminology, Jason.
I've established an erection, my dear. Are you ready for coitus?
Moving on.
Okay.
I'd like to come back to the terminology that you use here because I've...
Oh, terminology on the website.
So gold, platinum, diamond, black diamond.
Yeah.
What's the deal with the black diamond? Is it... Are we looking for something you could ski down? Or what's
Well, we thought of, starting off going... tin, iron, steel, It just didn't sound as good, and nobody else was sort of doing that.
The periodic table, almost.
Lithium brain. So we had a really clever designer help come up with a name, caliber, because caliber in military and with ammunition, you know, bigger caliber is bigger, and it's mainly bigger diameter, you know, bigger circumference. And also being of high caliber is a good thing. You know, you don't want to be a low caliber, you'd rather be a high caliber. So caliber. Then we were dealing with packages for your package, trying to get a better, the higher level package for your package. And so I don't think I came up with the gold. Is there silver? Silver's out. Did we have a bronze, silver?
You're starting at gold. Got to start at gold. It's like at Starbucks. You have large, extra large, grande. You know, there's no such thing as a... No one wants a silver penis or a bronze penis. Who wants a bronze penis?
What's the starting one on that?
Gold.
One?
Gold.
Starting gold. Okay, so say someone comes in for gold and they get it done.
Yeah.
And then they come back. How long's recovery take?
A few minutes.
How long does it take before the person can actually use
the penis? So we try and get guys to abstain from sex for like 5 days. In those first, like the four guys that we had as my first trial, almost all of them I contacted the next day because I wanted to check. And I said, is it okay? I said, yeah, it's okay. And then they said, and my wife really likes it.
They got straight into it.
Yeah, straight into it. They're all so excited. Got the new dick and it's bigger and the wife is happy. I said, you remember, you know, like we had this conversation. I said, you've got to keep it clean and, you know, no sex for, it was like 3 days in those days. I extended it out to 5 days in the hope that they'll go 3 days.
Right.
Because what we want is those access points that I've put in initially to get that blunt cannula in under the skin. Just want those to seal up a bit so that bacteria can't get in into the filler that we put in there. 3 to 5 days, you know, no sex.
Yeah.
You know, and so depending on, you know, like the Italian guy said, like, how can I go for a day without sex? You know, it's outrageous. And your married Australian guy says, oh, my birthday's not for 3 months, so no big deal.
So guy comes in, gets the gold, and he after a week or so, he has a go, and his wife might say, well, you know, it's no different. Can he come back and get...
Go to platinum. Yeah. So actually, normally I'll do it in two steps, because when I do it, you know, obviously I want it to be perfect. I got it symmetric. I want it to full length of the penis. I stretch that penis out. It goes from like the head all the way down to the base. I want to put it all the way around 360.
How many incisions do you put in?
I might put in four little stabs.
Right.
So one of the things I've learned is, put in as many as you need to get the product everywhere that you need and get it as smooth and even as you can possibly get it. Problem is, a penis can be a really variable sort of thing. You know, for some guys, it just hangs out. And, you know, guys who have a reputation known for having a big penis, they're usually a shower. It just hangs out.
Yeah.
But some guys are growers, so they get a lot of shrinkage. And so when it shrinks. And I've had guys... They shrink so much that it's like a belly button with a foreskin around it. It's shrunk that much. It's an innie rather than an outie.
Right.
And then you have some guys and, you know, they flop it out and it's hanging out 6 inches. And they say, oh, yeah, it's a bit cold in here today. It's, you know, shrunk up a bit.
Right.
So it varies hugely. So for guys who get shrinkage, that folds and creases the product. And some guys, it's like just... how tight their pants are and you know, folds the penis over in your direction. So you get a crease in it. So I'll usually get them back 2 or 3 weeks later. And if they're having 15 mils put in, I'll put in 10, 11, maybe 12 the first session. Yeah. And I'll save 3 to 5 mils for the second session so that if they do have any irregularity, I can just even it out and get it as even as possible. Yeah.
So it's nicely balanced all the way around. That's nice and even.
Yeah.
There's no ribbing.
Well, I've seen it, and it is even now an evolving technique. And this is something we explain to people. This is what we would consider an experimental technique. There's no medical society anywhere in the world that recommends that penis augmentation is a thing to do. They all say it's all experimental. That's why we're constantly trying to publish papers on it.
But tell me, what's worst case scenario in a procedure like this for someone?
Worst case scenario. So the
do you tell them this could possibly happen, that could possibly happen?
Yeah, we give it to them in writing, try and talk about it, because this is such a weird thing for a guy to do, you know. It's not like your average. And it's not as though for the vast majority. So this is 2021. At the moment, you know, it's not a one in a million. It's a one in 125,000 guys in Australia are having this. It's not common. And it's not as though all your friends know about it. Now, I'm starting to get guys come in and said, oh, my mate had this, and he told me to come and get it as well. So it's a whole new thing to be getting into. And they don't know what. And guys aren't getting a lot of cosmetic surgery. I get a lot of guys coming in for nose jobs, and eventually some guys getting their eyelids done and facelifts, but it's just not a common thing. So you've got to go through with them about what they're getting into. And like everything that I do in cosmetic medicine surgery, you don't need it. This is a want thing. It's not a need thing. Mm. And like any medical procedure, there are risks, and the risks are real. It's trying to balance that up.
Mm.
And, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody, but, you know, things have the potential of happening. And if you don't tell them in advance, then that's sort of
really... Well, I guess it's like any procedure that you have done, isn't it?
How many people do you see who are circumcised and how many are uncircumcised?
Obviously, nowadays, for guys in Australia, the majority are uncircumcised. And I've got a blog on the website, www.caliberclinic.com.au, about like the five characteristics for the ideal penis for augmentation. And so that sort of includes being normal size. So it's not a cure for micropenis. I had a guy a couple of weeks ago come in and tell me that he had a micropenis. A micropenis is a medical condition or a term that we have where a guy's erection is less than 7.5 centimeters long. So, you know, not very useful for a podcast, but I'll show how big 7.5 centimeters is with my fingers. You know, okay, it is half the size of perhaps what people think is a standard erection. So I was thinking, okay, this is a worry. I'm explaining to him that the procedure that we do doesn't increase the length of your penis. Okay, let's have a look. He unzips and like flops out this 6-inch penis.
So who is this?
A patient who came in to see me.
Not the micropenis guy.
Yeah, the micropenis guy.
Hang on a minute.
So was he taking the piss?
Well, that's what I've had a number of guys. A number of guys come in and tell me that it really affects them, like to the point where they won't have sex. They don't want to have a girlfriend.
But that's clearly in their head, though. If that guy flops it out,
yep.
Seemed like he made a thud, and then he claims to have a micropenis.
Yeah, so no, and certainly I see a number of guys, and guys, if you're out there, and if the girl that you're breaking up with tells you, and that's the smallest penis I've ever seen, it never satisfies me, that's breakup talk. And a lot of people in breakups say things specifically trying to hurt the other person. And the absolute classic for a woman to say to a guy is aim it at the size of your penis.
And if you've never heard that?
Then you've never had a bad breakup. Or you've just, my God, you say you've never heard that. Yeah, I've never heard that.
I don't think I've ever been out with anyone as nasty as that, tell the truth.
It is a bit of a nasty.
It's a nasty thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's no need for that.
No need.
No. Guys hear this, and it like affected the course of the rest of their life. Every single day, they've worried about the size of their penis. God forbid I ever get to the day of saying, oh, look, dropping my pants and showing a guy, look, say, look, you're bigger than I am. What do you got to worry about?
Yeah.
You know? On our website, caliberclinics.com.au. I'll slip that in like that.
Of course you are.
Yeah, slip it in. Perfect. Yeah. So we do have links to like some of the biggest studies that have been done on men's penises. And in fact, they're not as big as what a lot of guys claim. So the idea that the average erect penis is 6 inches is actually a bit of a fallacy as well, because that was all on self-proclaimed how big is your dick. And if you get, you know, a bunch of guys around at the pub, you say, how big is your dick? You know, mine is 6 inches. Oh, mine's 7 inches. Mine is 8 inches. Well, 6 inches, but I was saying 6 inches. I was going on a cold day, feeling shocked. 6 inches is when I fold it in half. So when you have guys self-reporting how big their penis is, guess what? The average goes up a lot. When you actually have professionals measuring, the average is like just under 5.5 inches. So a lot of guys get this whole impression that, you know, it's got to be a certain length for it to do. And then length doesn't even matter that much. Circumference for your partner is more important, because the sensation for your partner, and this would be for generally for both men and women as being your partner, is closer to the surface, and it's more that sort of stretching there, or clitoral sensation and circumference is going to be more important than depth. So don't get too hung up about
how long it's within the first 2 centimeters.
First 2 centimeters, that's where the action is.
Yeah, I've done my research.
Within the first 2 centimeters of
The vagina. Opening of the vagina.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard of
what we call the introitus.
So the oldest patient you've had that's had this procedure done?
The oldest guy I had come in was about 80.
80?
Yeah. And I think he was living in a nursing home or a retirement village, more better sort of name for it. Sorry.
A lot of widows in retirement villages.
Yeah, a lot. And I thought he was coming in for erectile problems, and you know, we've got various treatments that we use for that. And he was saying, no, Sonny, I have no problems in that regard, but you know, I just don't think I'm the same as what I was when I was 21, you know, 60 years ago. And the women, you know, they're demanding, and there's a lot of them. So
really?
He
Well, when you're on your last legs, mate.
He wasn't on his last legs, mate. Right?
No, the women.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was on 3 legs, this guy. But he didn't end up having it done.
He didn't?
No, he didn't why? Have it done. I don't know why.
He was a tire kicker.
Yeah, and I don't get that many sort of guys. Most of the guys who come kickers. In, you know, by the time they get in to see me, they pretty much decided they want to do it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So where does it go from here with the technology regards to penis implants? Where do you think the next step's going to be?
Well,
the next big breakthrough?
We're starting this study now of using a permanent filler into the head of the penis.
Take us back to the filler that you use then. How long does that last?
So we were using the hyaluronic acid filler, and some guys would get an okay result, but a lot of guys, it just disappeared. And we were almost going to give up on the head. Then okay, you can do it superficial, but you've got to like explain it to, you know, imagine how long it's taken me to explain it to you guys, I mean, explaining to the guy who's got to have it done, that you can get lumps and bumps and stuff, and you've got to inject more, and it may make you last longer, but it's not a guarantee. And so it takes me longer to explain the whole procedure than it takes to actually do the procedure.
Right.
Then these Spanish guys came up with this idea of injecting a permanent filler into the head of the penis. Now, they were doing surgery for erectile dysfunction. So especially like guys who've had prostate surgery and can't get an erection anymore. Now, you can take Viagra and tablet. Everybody knows the blue tablet that helps you get an erection. But if it's more severe than that and that doesn't work, you may have to do like injections into your penis. There's a medication you inject into your penis and that gives you erection. If your erectile problem is really severe, then those injections won't work. And then next step is to have an implant put into your penis. And the most common ones now are inflatable. So you have this little pump, often it's like down into your scrotum, into your ball sack sort of area. And you pump on the little pump and it pumps the fluid into it and it gives you an erection in the shaft of the penis. But it doesn't give you an erection in the head of the penis. It's a separate
segment. Hang on, I'll just go back a bit. Where's the control for this pump?
In your nuts.
You pump your nuts.
Yeah. This is a real thing.
This is a real thing.
Yeah.
So do you...
I know. This is medicine.
Do you have to grab both testicles?
No.
Or just one?
You want to keep one hand free, Derek. Sure.
No point in squeezing your own testicles. Okay. Oh. There's a reservoir of fluid with a little pump, and you're using it to pump this fluid.
Oh, the pump's
fluid.
In there. The pump is in the testicles.
Well, where do you want to have
it? Think
it
was?
Where
but hang on. Was, so what starts the pump?
It's manual pump.
Okay, that's my question. Yeah, so okay. Where is the manual pump? Where's the...
In your nuts. It's the best place. It's close. There's like space.
No, I'm still confused. Yeah, so you've got a pump in your nuts. How does it pump?
You've got to actually squeeze it. It's like...
Squeeze what?
This little...
I'm getting it now. Yeah, so the pump is in your sack.
Yeah.
And you squeeze... you're not squeezing your nuts.
No, not your own nut, but
you're squeezing this pump that's in there.
It's like pumping up an inflatable mattress with a foot pump sort of thing. But if it was on the ground...
Don't they have Wi-Fi connected ones?
They will, I'm sure. I'm sure they will. But imagine that. Imagine like Wi-Fi isn't working or something, or your iPhone's gone flat, or you can't establish a connection or something. Keep it simple, keep it manual, then it'll just work. So anyway, it's in the shaft of your penis. You pump, pump, pump. And of course, every guy says, well, I was 8 inches before. I need the 8-inch implant. You know? And apparently you can't just sort of say, I want the same as what I had, 8 inches.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can pump up your shaft, but the head wasn't getting pumped up. So they had this idea of injecting filler into the head to swell it up. And this was more for this functional, sort of this group of guys. But it's something that I've been looking at for a long time. And so the manufacturer of the product contacted me and said, look, these guys are doing this. Are you interested in looking at this product? So we're looking at this permanent sort of product. And guys love that idea. You know, the idea that you're having a product injected into your penis that in 2 years' time you're going to have a bit topped up, as opposed to something injected in that's going to last forever. Guys like that. But again, we don't know what's it going to be like in 10 years, 20 years, 30 or odd years. You know, it's sort of something that we've got to weigh up and think, and I'm glad that somebody else, I wouldn't have just jumped in and done it straight up myself. Mm. But now that that they've done it and they've been doing it for now 3 years and they've been doing it very successfully, for the last couple of months I've been doing it, I've done about 8 cases or something in the last couple of months. And so far it's been going really well, and it makes this noticeable difference to the size of the head of the penis.
So overall, your patients have been pretty happy with the result, and so have their partners.
Yeah. When I first started doing this, I thought it was a locker room procedure. It is so a guy can feel confident in himself. You know, when he's in the change room at the locker room, he doesn't have to be hiding in the corner, keeping a towel wrapped around him. He can, you know, drop the towel, you know.
And parade.
Parade around confident because he's got a big penis.
But I'm confident.
It's because you've got a big penis.
I don't walk around parading in the locker room. Put my towel. I have a shower. Put my towel on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get me undies on. I'm out of there.
You don't want to scare the horses, Derek.
Do you think there'll ever be a process where someone can donate their penis?
You're looking to be a penis donor.
I'm just asking. Will there be a point that something like that could be... do you call it grafted onto someone? What's the procedure?
Yeah. Well, they do faces and hands.
They do face
already,
transplants and hands and stuff. Transplants, the whole thing is that tissue from another body has different, what we call, antigens. Your body recognizes it as being foreign. So the only way to stop your body attacking it is to suppress your immune system. So if you need kidneys because you've got to die without a kidney, then having a kidney transplant and having your immune system suppressed is a worthwhile trade-off. I'm not sure if they're going to accept having a bigger penis is a worthwhile trade-off to have lifelong immune suppression.
What if you have no penis?
Well, there are techniques to build a penis, and some of the techniques, you know, they're not terrible, but there's a whole lot of stuff to get. One, you just need the tissue, so some skin. You know, most people want to have a tube going through it that then carries urine. Then if you want to get an erection with it, a natural erection, that's now becoming more difficult than current technology. But we've got these implants that can pump up, so you can create an erection with it. But if you've got the tissue and an erection, you want to have sensation to it. But it's not going to be, it might be sensation like hand sensation or something, but to get intimate sensation leading to orgasm,
you can't have everything.
It's hard to have everything. Yeah. It's something that I try and explain to guys. You know, nobody needs this. And in fact, some of the guys that come in and see me definitely don't need it. And I have guys coming in with big dicks. And sometimes, you know, they're saying, well, you know,
make it bigger.
I've always been, you know, I've always been a big guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's good. It's good being a big guy. And therefore, I think being a bigger guy must be
better.
Must be better. Yeah.
Well, saying that, when you say being a bigger guy must be better, when Mark and I were talking about doing this podcast with you, we did a bit of research. And one of the things I found about guys that are big, one of their common complaints is that their penis dunks into the toilet water when they're sitting on the seat.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Is it?
you don't get that.
Never heard that before.
That's a length problem, not a width problem, though. So
you don't specialise in length.
Don't specialise in length. Look, next time I come in, I can tell you all about length and the options for length.
Are there options?
Yeah, there are options. There are
options. I mean, that's interesting.
Are you allowed to tell us the sexual preferences of your patients that come in? I mean, what I'm asking is heterosexual? Are they
homosexual? Yeah, and other.
Do you ask those questions?
It doesn't really matter to me. Sometimes it
doesn't matter to me either. But I thought I'd ask.
Derek's still getting his head around the pump.
And you've got this preconceived idea of homosexual, and sometimes the guy comes in and goes, "I think he's gay." And then other times guys will say, my partner, he likes so-and-so. And so I thought, okay, well, he's gay. I won't really write it down or anything. It doesn't sort of make any great difference to me.
No, I just thought that. I just thought that, you know, when you give them a form to fill out, you know, that was one of the boxes.
Are you gay? No. Should it be? Well, how many boxes are we going to have? You know, we've been over this in... gay, bisexual, trisexual, you know, quadrasexual.
I'm just wondering, like, guarantee the process of getting a penis made bigger, the procedure is done because in my head I'm thinking, well, it's going to be going into a vagina, which has got a lot more movement to it, whereas with the homosexual side.
That number again. So it's good night.
Things are a little bit tighter. So
it's good night from me.
Do they come back and say, hang on a minute, this hasn't worked as well as what? Well, what have you been putting it in? What? Where have you been putting it?
Well, thanks for joining us, Jason. And if anyone out there...
I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished. I'm not finished yet. We can edit this. Not finished.
Well, obviously, it's not just homosexuals who engage in anal sex. Unfortunately, we've quit our childish tittering there. And we've got a clinic in Sydney, and they have a high percentage of homosexual patients. But I don't know what the percentage ratio is there compared to here. We, in fact, specifically advertised in gay magazines, you know, thinking, oh, maybe, you know, they'll be more interested than others. then both partners have a penis as opposed to in a heterosexual couple is usually one has a penis.
I think kill two birds with one stone.
Is there a
discount for the family discount?
As a couple?
Yeah. I've never had
a couple. There you go.
I've never had two guys come in as a couple. But I've had husband and wives come in. She had
something done.
Like labiaplasty, neatening up.
And what does he have? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it a do you do
must
it
be
like,
an anniversary thing?
Like, you know, when you go to a spa and you can have the couples, the massage, you're both in the same room or no?
It was different. I don't think it was like same day or week or anything.
You need both hands on the, like, you couldn't stand. You're good, but you're not that good.
I'm not that good. No.
That's something to think about marketing for the couples.
Yeah, both
come up. We'll come up with a name. And next time we have you on, Derek will have a name for it.
Certainly will have a name for it. So the eggplant emoji, I didn't know that was a penis. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. I found it out the other day.
I didn't even know there was an eggplant emoji.
Yeah. So when you put the eggplant emoji up, it's actually...
You're not means looking the penis. For eggplants. You're no. not looking for a...
It means the penis. I didn't know that. Okay. So make sure you don't go sending that to people, Mark.
It's the Greek dish, like a lasagna. It's got eggplant on it.
Moussaka.
Moussaka.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's no moussaka emoji, mate.
So you're not like, we need some... Get some moussaka from the supermarket on your way home, darling.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. You have done your research this week, Derek.
For the future, it will be amazing to have Jason back on.
There's lots to talk about, guys. And that's what this is all about, isn't it?
We should get one of your patients to come on and talk about his penis.
I know. I'm always wanting guys to get on to a podcast. Many guys are a bit shy about...
We can do it remotely.
Talking.
Yeah.
We can do it via Zoom. Yeah. We can pixelate.
Put an eggplant emoji on his face. I was going to say,
we can pixelate out the face. We can pixelate out the penis as well, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, Jason, it's been really, really interesting talking about this subject. I'm sure it's a subject that will have a lot of interest once we post it. What do we do?
Put it on the...
On the cloud.
I don't know what we're going to do with this one. We might bury it.
No, we won't bury it. No,
what he doesn't know about penises isn't worth knowing.